I am so glad to be able to be back here with you again today for part two of a conversation that we started last week about daily investing in your marriage. And if you didn't get to listen to part one yet, go back, listen to part one first. You know, it makes more sense that way, part one, then part two. Then jump in here and join us for part two. We kind of jump right in talking about some practical tools for investing in your marriage during different seasons of life, because marriage does look different in different seasons. The seasons with young babies, that's a very unique season, and it's a little window of life. Seasons with adolescents who are older, we're looking at like 13-year-olds, 14, 15, whatever that season is. That's a unique season. Or maybe you're like me and you're straddling the lanes of motherhood and you have children in that older season and children in the younger season. It's a unique place to be. But our marriage is such a gift and our marriage is a priority in all seasons. But it doesn't mean that it's easy to be able to keep it a priority. And so Rachel has some really wonderful tools that we're going to be talking about how to be investing daily in our marriage through all the seasons of life. But go back, listen to part one first. Rachel Swain is back with me today. Rachel has 5 children who range from 15 to 25 years old. Her oldest daughter is married and has a 16-month-old. So she is already experiencing the gifts of being a grandmother as well. And she is just lives as a very intentional, godly wife and mom. And I know this by the encouragement that I've received from her myself on her Instagram account. It's joyful_mothers. Or she also has a Facebook page called Joyful Mothers. You can find her there. And just the words of truth and unapologetic truth about motherhood that so often our world today lives giving excuses for mediocrity in motherhood or mediocrity in marriage. And Rachel doesn't beat around the bush. And I really, really appreciate that. That's what I want. That's the challenges that I want as a Christian woman, because iron sharpens iron, right? I want to grow. And I know you do too. So listen to this today. If you did not yet listen to episode one, go back and listen to part one we did last week. And as you're listening, if a friend comes to mind that you know this would be an encouragement to, pause it, send it to them and tell them, hey, I'm in the middle of this episode right now. Really think it'd be a blessing to you, because God is going to use you as a voice to be an influence and an encouragement to all of the women in your circle as well. So don't hesitate to share this. So glad that we can be here with you again today. We jump right into the middle of the conversation and are going to just, jump right into giving you some tools to be able to start putting into practice for some daily investing in your marriage. Enjoy this.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Seek Holy Living podcast with Krista Svoboda. I am a wife to my wonderful husband, mom to my 5 precious children, and a friend to some amazing moms that I can't wait to introduce to you. Mothering is not a journey meant to be traveled alone. Join me every Monday for a new podcast where you will find hope, joy, and purpose.
Well, and you've been through so many seasons of trying to daily invest in your marriage. So let's talk about a couple of those. So first, some advice for the mom who's in a season with babies and little ones. What advice would you give for her in really trying to still daily invest in her marriage when like she smells like spit up and is so tired, you know?
Totally. It's hard. I mean, it is very, very challenging, and I definitely blew it so often with this. It was just, and that's really why I started my Joyful Mothers group and wanted to encourage. It was to start with me for my own sake of just being focused, really. So Joyful Mothers, I talk about marriage too. It started out kind of as like a mom thing, but then it just, that really moves into your marriage, because the marriage should be more important than being a mom too. And so we have to talk about that. So I do talk about marriage on there. And I just learned so much about myself from having children and trying to juggle marriage and have little ones, and how there was such a pull on my heart that was so incredibly strong. And I know not every woman struggles with this, but I think a big majority of women do struggle with just feeling so pulled in the direction of their children, because you know, when you have children, your heart just explodes, and you, it's hard to even imagine that you could love another human being that much. And so it kind of seems to take over your heart and your mind and your emotions in a way that I think a lot of us did not anticipate. I remember my husband always talk about having kids and how he was just so excited about having children. And it was a big topic that he would bring up a lot, even more than me. And I was kind of surprised and I was excited because I'm like, oh, well, he's excited to be a dad. And then when I got pregnant with my firstborn, I was so selfish. It's so funny. Just, you know, you look back on stuff that you think and do and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so immature about that. But I was just like, oh no, he's going to be, so excited about our baby that he won't even have time for me anymore. Just so funny, just thinking those thoughts and all the pregnancy hormones and stuff. And I started to get all funny about it. Like maybe he's just going to forget about me and I'm just going to be tossed to the side. And it was just the exact opposite that happened. You know, he was thrilled to have children, but he still had a lot of room in his heart for me. And I felt like I had to just be more intentional with that room in my heart. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so many physical needs to be met. So anyway, with that being said, I think that we, a lot of times can start in this, when it's really crazy, you know, like when you've just had you have a newborn baby and you have a toddler as well. And then there's all these other things. There could be so many other factors. You could have an elderly parent living with you at the same time. And we actually did have that for a season. So it really comes down to one of the things that I like to encourage women in is just your communication, what you're saying to your husband. You can serve. So you may not be able to serve him in a lot of other ways. Maybe he's having to iron his own shirts, or maybe, you know, he's having to pick up something on the way home to eat, or he's eating a bowl of cereal because it's so crazy. And you want to serve him in those ways, but you're so spent. You want to start with that foundation of just, well, first of all, praying for him. So that's the best thing you could ever do for him and the best way that you could invest into your marriage. But secondly, you can serve your husband with your words. And you mentioned before about kindness in Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So if you are a kind wife with your words, you're investing a huge amount into your marriage on a daily basis. That is so beautiful and so wonderful for a marriage to have a wife that has a kind spirit. And through that, you can be speaking of just hope in your own life, because it's amazing how when we're hopeful and we're not pessimistic and down about everything in our lives, it just is so helpful to the marriage. It's just, a husband loves to come home to a wife who's joyful and hopeful, and hence the, you know, title Joyful Mothers, because I struggled mm-hmm. so much with that. That was my biggest, I mean, many struggles, but I think one of my biggest struggles was just being joyful. And it's so crazy because I was in heaven with these beautiful children that God had given me and this amazing husband, and so thankful, but I had to really fight for that joy because of my mm-hmm. circumstances and just feeling pulled in every direction and so exhausted and just feeling like everything was always going wrong and nothing went the way I wanted it to. And just was so convicted about that. So this comes back to what we talked about at that time in God's word, that time with the Lord, because mm-hmm. how can we find joy apart from him? There's so many things that go wrong in life. There's so many worries that we can have about our children, their health issues, or, you know, a new diagnosis or something. It's just overwhelming. And so we've got to be plugged in and finding our joy in the Lord. And through that, we can be speaking that to our husband. So that's important to speak it, I think, mm-hmm. because oftentimes we're just going through so much and our demeanor is frazzled. And, you know, I just remember my husband coming home and there was so much going on when he walked through the door. It wasn't like, oh, everybody's sitting down and soft music's playing and he's playing quietly in the corner and dinner's on the table and candles are lit. It was just far from that. There was usually someone that needed discipline, a kid's bickering in the corner and, you know, just so much. And so of course it's going to be crazy, but in the midst of that, you can just put that smile on and just give him a kiss and ask him how his day was, and just even in the midst of, maybe if you are able to sit down later in the evening, just talking about the absolute chaos of your day and the difficulties, you can still bring hope to that. So mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that you have to put on this fake smile and la, 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 everything was perfect. And I don't want you to know that I'm struggling. No, it's just how you convey it, how you communicate yes. it. And that's such an investment into your marriage, because you're going to say, okay, it was crazy and I really need you to pray for me. And you could be bawling your eyes out and crying, but just speaking truth. But I know the Lord is at work in me, and I know that He's going to bring good out of this. Mm-hmm. I know that the kids are going to grow out of this. And I just want you to know that I'm continuing to seek for that joy and that hope in the Lord. So expressing that is a huge investment into your marriage, because that's helpful to Him to not feel like, in a sense, like as the leader of the home, like that He's blowing it, He can't fix it, He can't help you. And it's just kind of depressing. Mm-hmm. But with that realness, so that's important. I know I can be so real with my husband. I can just talk about all the ugly thoughts and feelings I'm having. But I also want to speak that truth that I know in my heart. So He knows that that's my aim. And then sometimes it might be, maybe you can't even say it, but you're just going to cry and you're not going to let it come out in anger and be directed towards Him. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we have stuff that we're experiencing and we're so overwhelmed. And so now we're snappy and now we're saying things to Him and He hasn't done anything. And sometimes we need to have a good cry, because when we cry, oftentimes it can just alleviate and relieve those emotions. And then now we're able to think straight and not let it turn into anger and frustration. So that's important, mm-hmm. I think, to even just let those tears out. Just having that optimism in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that only comes from the Lord, because if we look at our circumstances, it can oftentimes be really difficult to be optimistic. You know, the baby doesn't take the nap, so you know the whole evening is going to be difficult. They're going to be overtired and they may even have a hard time falling asleep. And, you know, you're just projecting all these different things that are going to happen. You know, one of your kids wakes up sick. Now, you know, okay, all five kids are going to be sick. I'm going to be gone from church for 6 weeks. Just all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then you put them back in and someone comes home sick, you know, like we have another round of it. I just remember going through that and just feeling like I wanted to feel sorry for myself and I needed my husband to know how bad things were for me. There's this feeling sometimes almost like if I'm too optimistic, he's not going to feel bad for me and he's not going to be concerned. And so there's that balance there of being real and just saying, please, I'm really struggling. Will you pray for me? But not just being all doom and gloom and then letting all that out on him. So that investment is just that communication that's done in a healthy way. I mean, that will carry you through. I mean, obviously the Lord is the one who carries us through, but those things go a long way for a man, because he just feels encouraged that you are intentional and proactive, and you're not just like throwing your hands up and then blaming everything on him in a sense by being cranky with him and just taking it all out on him. And sometimes I would tell my husband, okay, I just want to let you know, you know, it's that time of the month is coming up and I am really struggling. I feel so irritable right now. I feel really on edge and I just feel kind of crazy. And so I just want you to know that if I'm a little quiet or, you know, you're seeing something going on with me, it's not you. Can you just pray for me? And it was crazy how that helps him just be like, okay. And then he can be more mindful of just helping even a little more than, you know, he was so helpful, but even in an extra way. But it also is weird how that just speaking that and stating that was freeing to me. And sometimes you don't even feel like doing that. Like it's just this weird thing of just like, you just feel so frustrated. You don't even want to talk about it, but you have to have the spiritual maturity to say, I'm going to do what's right and wise right now and invest in my marriage by telling him what's going on with me. And then even asking like, hey, can I go just get some time? Can I just leave? You know, can I just go for a drive? So those are the things where it's not like you're serving and doing all these amazing things and putting on this 5-course meal for him every night, but
it's a heart. It all goes back to a heart issue.
Totally. And every husband would want that over that amazing meal on the table, you know? Yeah.
And what about with adolescents? Because that is different. And I'm in an interesting season having a 13-year-old and expecting our next baby. Yes. I say I'm straddling the seasons of motherhood because I have one up early in the morning before my husband is awake. And I have one who would love to stay awake late in the night past when my husband should be asleep. No, normally he and my husband are actually the ones who are awake when I'm going to sleep these days, because I have to get more sleep with this growing baby.
Yes.
But, and especially knowing that our almost 2-year-old will be waking up in the morning to greet me early. So I realize, though, it doesn't get easier when kids get older. And I think that there can be this expectation like, well, it's hard for me right now because I have a new baby. So we're just going to get through this season and then it will get easier.
Yes.
But it does. It's not that it doesn't get easier because it's just that it changes.
Yes.
It looks different. So yeah. What encouragement or advice would you give to moms either in a season with adolescents or knowing I'm going to be moving into that season? So I need to have a heart prepared for that. Because again, this goes back to the heart.
Yes. I think there's, so many different pieces of advice I think I could give, but, obviously that time with the Lord being, prioritized, but physically just taking care of yourself, that plays a big part in this, because if we're not eating well and we're not doing our best to get exercise, it's going to affect how well our body functions. And we do really need our bodies to function pretty well to be able to do what God has called us to do. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that if you have some chronic illness that, now you're in trouble, but we do what we can. So even in those cases, there's going to be different things that you're going to do to take care of yourself. But I think just really being just mindful of, okay, so, and especially in your case, when you have those, mine were 10 years apart at one point. So my youngest was born when my oldest was 10, or maybe she was almost 10. And so it was similar to this. And I think it's just that you really do have to kind of have, some form of a schedule that's not necessarily rigid, but just plans. Basically, you need to plan.
I call them systems. Like, we need some systems in place, some healthier rhythms.
Totally. Because you're just going to go through burnout or something's just going to happen if you're just stretched to your limit. So that's where you have to just really sit down, brainstorm, put your head together with your husband and go, okay, how can we meet the needs of our children with discipleship and discipline? They look so different at these ages. And to where I could feel that we're there for them and they're available. And so I think having a plan, taking care of yourself physically,
I'll encourage two moms with this about taking care of yourself physically. I've been talking with my mom about this lately because, she's like beyond that season of adolescence. Her youngest is in his 20s right now, like my youngest brother.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how it's really, really hard when you're in those seasons, but realizing how the way you care for your own body when you're in the trenches of motherhood is an investment into your future as a woman too.
Yes.
So it's not like we'll have to deal with that later. Like it's every choice we make right now, even if it's the choice to get enough sleep.
Yes.
Is investing into our future self and how the Lord's going to be able to use us.
Yes. And I think that, well, it's kind of like that airplane analogy of just, you put on your oxygen mask first, And so sometimes we feel bad to do that, but we might need to just have those breathers where we're actually being more intentional, like every week where we leave the house and we go do something that just kind of rejuvenates us, go to the park or something, just breathe a little bit. That's crucial, I think. And then just recognizing that there are going to be some days and maybe weeks where we're really, really exhausted. But I think we just finding that balance, we just pray for wisdom because there are times there's been so many times with my teenagers where I was up till like 2 a.m. and we just had the most amazing conversations. And I'm like, I will sacrifice my sleep any day for that. Like that was just so precious and you cannot duplicate that. So you can't say, hey, honey, I got to go to bed. Can we hang out tomorrow night? Because they may not be in that same mode. So sometimes you will have to do that. Sometimes you will, but it shouldn't be kind of your norm where you're rescheduling with your teenagers. So you want to try to just pray for wisdom on that. Like, what is that going to look like? Are you going to just try to make a time for a nap in the afternoon where you're just telling your kids, mom's going to take a nap? And that's just what I have to do during this season. And it helps obviously when you have older kids and, or when you can, your kids are safe and they're not all tiny in your but if you can work that in and that means that, maybe your dinners are just way more simple now, or, just a lot of this all plays into just, scheduling and planning and just being wise with your organization. But I think with our husbands too, we need to, when you have older kids and maybe you don't have little ones like you do, and so they're older, you can, even like find ways to really be intentional with, okay, let's, maybe we're not going to go out tonight, but let's sit in our room together for a couple of hours, or, you know, like just carving out that time, because the days will just fly by. And sometimes we need to just suggest things to our husbands, like, you know, because maybe he's not necessarily leading with that, but it doesn't mean that we can't humbly suggest, hey, can we just try to get this time together? What about this? And come up with different ideas. Maybe it's earlier in the evening where your older kids look after the younger ones and you guys just go in the room for from 7 till 8 o'clock. If you have enough room in your bedroom, even like for us, we have a couch in our bedroom, we're able to squeeze one in there. With our kids being older and so many people around the house all the time, it was just really hard to just have conversations if you don't have a lot of space in your house. So if you can buy secondhand couch and squeeze it in there, there's something about just being able to go and sit in there. Sometimes if you're trying to have conversations late at night and you're falling asleep, it's just not the same as having those heart to heart, like sitting and looking into each other's eyes and being wide awake, you know? I think you just have to get creative with it, but you do have to be intentional, because the longer you're married, sometimes you can feel like, oh, we don't need that anymore, but you're going to need it till the day that you die to have those connections. And, I think that we just have to, really just be praying for wisdom.
Absolutely. Well, and I like the thing that you mentioned about the oxygen mask too, because I think that it's for us individually as a mom, but it's also for our marriage. Because our marriage is going to last beyond children in our home, but it will only last beyond children in our home if we're investing in it and prioritizing it. And our world would say, you know, oh, you have to be involved in this. Oh, you need to be able to be making this much money so you can go on this vacation and so that you can do this thing. And if we're spinning our wheels with all the things all the time, and we don't have the space to have those conversations, those check-ins, then our hearts are not going to be able to be in tune with each other. And I think about, when I think about, you mentioned at the beginning, some of those attributes of 1 Corinthians 13, you know, am I being patient? Am I being kind? Am I being humble? All of those attributes are lived out so much better and so much more naturally without so much angst or feeling like we're having to fight to make them happen when we're actually in relationship.
Yes.
And if we're just living, I mean, we've gone through seasons. We're kind of, honestly, we're kind of in one right now where between needs of our own children and starting the school year, because I'm recording this right before we start our school year. So, you know, the different activities are starting up, which is always different when it's starting at the beginning and you're not, you mentioned the rhythms. That's huge. If you're not in regular rhythms yet again. And also you mentioned caring for elderly. We've been, having the opportunity to love and serve my husband's parents a lot more in this season right now. And we wouldn't trade that, you know, it's a gift and it's a calling, but, and it is the most important right now. But if we just allowed ourselves to be passing, just, you know, passing ships, you know, we would absolutely not be able to function long-term in that way. So, the other night, we knew we couldn't get away for a date. It wasn't going to work, but we really needed a chance to connect. And so we were able to, he went and picked up some food for us for dinner and we got the kids to in beds. They weren't even all asleep, but the ones who had to be asleep for us to talk were asleep. And then the other ones knew, hey, we're having a little date outside. And so, and we also didn't want our kids to hear our entire conversations. Yes, so similarly, to your couch in the bedroom, we said we could eat on the patio. Yes. So we went and sat outside and ate on the patio. And that time together was more valuable that, I mean, it was probably only an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but that time that we spent was more valuable than any hour that I had invested in my entire week.
Yeah. Yes. And I think too, sometimes what can happen is we always, you know, if we're kind of coasting along, we're not arguing and having issues and everything seems fine, then sometimes we can just think, oh, we're good. We don't really need that time together. And so we're not realizing that there's becoming a little bit of a disconnection. And it's like, almost like we're looking for the warning signs to bring us together, in a sense, like, oh no, we're fighting a lot, so maybe we need to spend more time together. And so we shouldn't start from that. It's kind of like dealing with a health issue once things get really bad, instead of just tending to your health in general so that things don't get really bad. You know, we have to just realize that like our marriages need that investment on a daily basis, and it will look different in different seasons for sure. And, you know, as you go through seasons that are not as busy, you'll be able to do so much more together. But I think that we have to make sure it's at the top of our list of priorities.
For sure. For sure. Well, this was wonderful, Rachel. This is so helpful. And you just have so much practical wisdom on this topic that I would love to just ask before we wrap it up. Are there any final thoughts that you have when you just think about daily investing in your marriage that you think, oh, I'd really love to just end with this final word of encouragement?
Well, I think that, you know, ultimately, as like I said earlier too, you know, as we spend that time with the Lord and really are intentional about praying for our husbands and, you know, really looking towards all the good that we see in our husbands, that it is so helpful to us. Many of us just struggle with seeing the negatives. And I think that those, of course, they do tend to stand out because they make our lives challenging, right? When we're looking at the negatives in our spouses. But I think that just that daily investment of like really just seeing our husbands through the Lord's eyes and just being gracious, like, and I think we just have so much pride and there's like a lack of humility of like, wow, like I am such a sinner. Like does, you know, my husband has these weaknesses. Do I have any weaknesses and struggles, you know, and do
we don't though. That's the thing. We don't. We've got.
I know, sometimes we just think
it's laughable, but we do this.
And isn't it crazy? Like sometimes I'll just have this moment where like, man, I must be really annoying. Like with that, like something that I did or said, or just a habit or just even like laziness about something or like not taking care of something or whatever. And it's just, it's so easy for us just to see things in other people and just be like, oh, you know, and not have that humility to say like, wow, my husband has to bear with a lot of things with me too. He has to overlook a lot of different things. He's had to learn how to love me through things that may never change. Cause there's areas of our lives where we grow and we change and we're sanctified, but there's also just personality, little quirks and things that we have, or just habits that we have that I'm just thankful that my husband is just not standing over me trying to make me change every tiny little thing about myself. And he's just really loved me through a lot of our differences. And so I think that,
praise God for that.
Amen. And I think that investment in our marriages of just saying, you know what, today I'm just like that thought life, because so much happens in our minds. And that's a whole nother thing.
Oh yeah.
Too. Just what's going around in your head? Like, are you thinking good thoughts about your husband? And of course, there are going to be things that have to be dealt with. And like I said earlier, there will be times where you may even need biblical counseling through different seasons of your marriage. So I'm not saying just sweep everything under the rug and not look at warning signs, but those little things that you're honing in on and you're making a big deal, and we need to repent of that and really recognize that oftentimes we can be too picky and we want to be gracious. And then when we are thinking about those good things, then we need to voice those. And that's something I've had to grow in, because I realize I'm not the kind of person that just gives off a lot of encouragement easily. Like I have to think, okay, I thought that, I need to speak that to my husband. Like I'm thinking about these things that I admire about him. Did I even tell him that? And it's crazy how that can happen. Or even we mention it to a friend, something we love about our husbands, but we actually didn't tell him. And so thinking those good thoughts about him, being gracious in our minds, remembering our own sin against the Lord, what God has saved us from, and just having that mindset of just grace and mercy. And obviously that comes from just being rooted in the Lord.
Well, Rachel, thank you again so, so much for sharing your heart and your wisdom and all of this. You have clearly sought the Lord intentionally in your marriage. And and thank you for being a voice in that, you know, social media world that really can be used for good. There can be so much good in that space and encouragement. And I think about iron sharpening iron, you know, maybe that's why when you share things about marriage, people get a little bit touchier about it, because it's not always the sharpening process isn't always pleasant,
but
it's so important, and it's biblical, and it is really a gift to be able to have women who have been a step beyond us to be able to speak into us and be an encouragement. So thank you. Thank you so much. And again, friends, I will link in the show notes, Rachel's Instagram and her Facebook, so that you can find her there and continue to be encouraged as she speaks into the biblical calling that we have been given as mothers and as wives. So I'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Bye, friends.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of our weekly conversations. And check out our show notes below, where I have links to the resources mentioned on the podcast. I release a new podcast every Monday and additional content at seekholyliving.com, including a video of this conversation and a deeper dive into all things mom. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Seek Holy Living for more fun and conversation. If this was an encouragement to you, please share it with your friends.